Good morning.
Good morning.
Sing the choir. I gave it a shot. Such a joy to be with you again today. I'll have to admit to you, and I told my wife, I'm a little bit concerned about my message. I know in my head, I believe it, I struggle with it in my heart. Two different things. And so I come before you today with a thematic, exegetical look at something. In other words, we're going to look at the scriptures, talk about what they say with a theme. Okay? Thematic, exegetical. I've been reading two books I've been talking to you about. One of them is Position and Condition, an exposition of the book of Ephesians by Dr. Anderson, president of the seminary where I'm going. Scholarly man. When he uses a Bible, it's either in Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. That's all he preaches from, so he is quite a scholar. This is scholarly. The other one scares me. Going for the Gold. And this is written by just a dear gentleman, Dr. Joe Wall. Good friend of mine. I'm reading his book. I call him a heretic. He laughs. But this is a difficult book, and we're going to be looking at these two today. I'm really concerned. This one is one I can really understand because, folks, our position as Christians is that we are in Christ. Our human condition is weak. Would you not agree to that? We're still falling short every day. That's our life. We try to, but no matter how, remember what Paul said? I know what I should be doing, and I really don't. It's tough. This is what this book, I buy that 100%. This one talks about something else. It's about judgment, about whether we as Christians are really good in our lives. Does not judge you on your salvation. It's judging you on how good you are in your life. Okay, I'm dead in the water there, aren't you? It scares me to death. So when I'm reading these, I understand in my head the scriptures and their justification. And by the way, it's good. It really is right on target. But in my heart, it's hard for me to understand it. Because both of these books are quite humbling. And one day, I'd like to take the time and teach a little bit about what it means to be after death standing for Christ. It's somewhat challenging. And for these in mind, we're going to have to consider what real life in Christ means, and are we really being good Christians? Now, my premise today is that there's two judgments. One is, are you a Christian or are you not? That classifies the first judgment. That's easy. Are you or are you not a Christian? The second one is what I'm struggling with today, because there's something, and I'll talk about it in a minute, called a Bema, B-E-M-A, B as in boy, E-M-A. A second judgment where, folks, you're going to stand before Christ. And all that you've done in your life is going to be presented to you. The good, which would be about this much for me, and the bad, which is I can't even reach it. And all of it, and it's supposed to be that with, from which rewards are given. And I don't understand all of that, but I read the scriptures. And it says some of us are going to be held more accountable. That scares me to death. It says those who know are going to be held more accountable, especially teachers. And so on all of those things, it really is disturbing to me. So I set the premise with you today that we're going to be looking at these scriptures and talking about these scriptures. Now, in business, in schools, athletics, you name it, those who succeed are those who really discipline themselves to perform the tasks necessary for success. When I entered, and I think I've shared this with you, in my doctoral program, I entered with a cohort of 15 people. We were all out of our master's. 15 of us were selected to enter the doctoral program. All of these people were really, really quite intelligent, even impressively so. They seemed motivated. They were quite articulate in their knowledge and beliefs. And at the end of the residency and research and completing the dissertation, only three of us out of that cohort completed the PhD. Now, I always looked at that. I guarantee you that a big part of that for those three was not giving in to worries or fears or pressure. There was, in my part, especially a determination. I was not going to fail. These people, probably half of them, were much, much more experienced and knowledgeable in the field than even I coming into it. But I just decided no matter what, I was going to finish it. And so what I tried to do was discipline my life to complete the tasks that were before me. So the same is true as when we talk about our spiritual lives in these matters. Although we celebrate the fact that our salvation is not something we can earn, it's important for us to understand that maturity in Christ only comes through the same route that success comes in any area, and that's through discipline. Simple things. Discipline your life for Christ. Hard work. With that idea in mind, Paul writes the following words to his friends in the church in Corinth. As I read again, try to identify the things Paul instructs us to do if we were to be successful in the most important aspect of our lives, the spiritual, or that which is our real relationship with God. Now, what I'm talking about today is not playing at church, but true life Christianity. What happens outside the walls of this church? Now, this section is especially for those of us who are Christians that we need to be very careful. And here's an expression. It says, if we think we're standing firm in our faith, be careful that you do not fall. And I've always believed that. So, 1 Corinthians 9:24 again. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? I've been running every day. I'm as slow as I get slower every day. But I'm running. I go out there and I run. Do I run to win the race? No, I run to finish the race at my age. I'm finishing the race. But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. Now, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, just a little exegetical thought out of that. There were games, and they were the Isthmus games, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But they would go into 10 months of training before these games that happened every couple of years. And they would regiment their lives with a diet. They'd regiment what they do with their bodies. And they regimented what they did with their exercise for 10 months. Then 30 days prior to that time, they would go into what is called the gymnasium, which means all they did was concentrate on the events they were going to enter to get stronger. All right? So ones who complete the games go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. This is familiar. Hebrews also has a similar race aspect to it. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Well, he's picked out two aspects of these games. And by the way, these games had five different components to them. One is jumping, probably a broad jump. Second one is discus throwing. A third one is running itself. A fourth one is boxing, and a fifth one was wrestling. Those are the five events of this particular games, all right? And so here he mentions two of them. And he says, folks, as Christians, we know what the goal is. We know what's out there. So we're not just running around there aimlessly. That's what Paul is writing here. He said, we don't like fight like a man hitting in the air boxing. He knows what's out there. His opponent in front of him. So we know what is before us. You know the end of the games. You know what it is. Which means you're held accountable for it. If you know what it is. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the race. Wow. You know what people have done with this passage? I'll read that again. No, I beat my body and make it like a slave. Did you know that's from a Greek translation wording that means literally hit under my eye and giving myself a black eye. I beat my body. Did you know that people in the Middle Ages would literally, they've taken this passage and they beat themselves thinking that this is what they do to show control. And they would beat themselves with chains and they would beat themselves with these hooks that would bite into their flesh. They beat themselves until they bloodied themselves. Even today, if you read some of the ceremonies around the celebrations of the Easter period in the Philippines, some people literally are nailed themselves to a cross. And they use passages like this. No, this really means that we need to understand our bodies and control our bodies, and bodies are submitted to Christ. It does not literally mean that you have to go out and beat yourself in bloody pulps to be controlling yourselves. So I love the way people take scriptures and twist them all up. So what is the prize? Again, he was talking about these games that occurred every 2 years in Corinth. The prize for winning the game was a coveted crown of fir branches. You've seen those. And as Paul says, this crown is only temporary. But followers of Christ are promised rewards that are eternal if you run your life the proper way. Now, I come back again to tell you, in Christ, this has nothing to do about the judgment about your salvation. This is the second judgment, whereby, folks, we are going to stand before Christ. And you know, your life is going to be presented right out in front of you before Christ. Anybody humbled by that today? Oh, you should be. Scares me to death. I mean, again, here's the good stuff. I can't even measure my good stuff. I can't find it. It's not there. Because I'm held accountable because I know so much more. In fact, folks, you do too. You know better, don't you? Do we do better all the time? That's the problem, isn't it? That's our human condition. Our position is in Christ as Christians. Our condition is we're human with all of the frailties of the body. So, some interpret these scriptures at these times. There's a great white throne judgment. The second judgment is what we're talking about. It's a judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And you can find that now. Someday I'll teach you about that. It's also found in James. It's also found in the book of Acts. And it's a rewards judgment where those who have honored God and lived their lives and have borne spiritual fruit will be rewarded. And those who have squandered their time on earth after their conversion will experience a sense of loss for the wasted time of life. I'm going to stop with that. We're going to experience a sense of loss. I was never taught that in Sunday school, were you? Weren't you taught, what were you taught about heaven? Wasn't it perfect? There's no more crying and no more tears. Do you hear that? There's joy in heaven. I'll read this to you again. Where those who have squandered their time on earth after conversion will experience a sense of loss for wasted time during life. That's the second judgment. That's the Bema judgment of Christ. Now, you want to ask Dr. Miller if he understands that? No, I do not. I do know about it. My heart says I'm not sure what that means because it's a falling short. And in my heaven, I don't feel a sense of loss. But I can imagine standing before Christ in the second judgment. Can't you? For all of your charts out there, you're just charting. Bob, today you did this, and yesterday you did this, and the day after that you did this. And it's all charted before you. Wow. What a sense of feeling you must have at that. So, Paul tells us to be sure and run the race we're given and do it in such a way as to win the prize. Now, the question is, how can we run the race God has given each of us in such a way to win the prize? Well, number one, as I started out saying, you train yourself through discipline. Everyone who completes in a game goes into strict training. Verses 24 and 5. Remember Rocky, the movie? I know it's an old movie, but I can still just hear the music in it. Theme song from Rocky. They play it all the time. Can't you see the images of Rocky doing sit-ups and push-ups, hitting punching bags, best of all, racing to the top of the stairs at that library? Training's hard work. He did it in every one of his movies, didn't he? Russia, he was doing, pulling all the... Yeah, all his movies, Rocky movies. Takes sweat, takes effort, takes determination to do what you know it will take to get to your goal. I love it when I hear testimonies of people who are miraculously delivered of a sinful habit such as an addiction, drugs, gambling. But you know what? That's not the norm. The normal way to defeat these bad habits we have in our lives, and by breaking those habits, is one decision at a time, one moment at a time, by choosing to plug into the power that God can give you through the Holy Spirit. One decision at a time. If you want to run in such a way to win the prize that God has for you, you need to take a look at your life and identify those areas that need some shaping up and bringing them under spiritual discipline. Now, I used to run some marathons. Folks, some people run a lot longer than that. I never did, and I don't care to. That's too far from me now anyway. But you just don't run it. Go out and start running 20-something miles. You had to build up for that. It was a daily decision to get out. I don't care if it was snowing or ice. My bottom temperature was 10 below. If it went below 10 below, I wouldn't run. But up to 10 below, I would run out. So I used to have a beard. Come home with icicles hanging off my beard. I would just be running. But I did that every day to prepare for something, because I could not even have finished the thing if I didn't do a daily decision to do little stages of it, building every day. You just don't walk out and be a miracle and run something. You want to translate that to your spiritual life? You don't just walk out and be a mature Christian. In fact, I can tell you I'm not. I'm just on my way. And it takes a day-to-day decision to do something to turn to Christ. We need to identify those areas in our spiritual lives where we need to exercise more. Notice in verse 27 that Paul says, I beat my body to make it a slave. Please don't let people pervert that to where they have to cut themselves. And people have done that in history. They do it today. This means you understand where you are and your life has changed. This is no easy, miraculous, one-time answer to the problems of being tempted to live for a person's self. What Paul's talking about is a moment-by-moment, day-to-day decision to live your life according to God's command. To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. This is a day-to-day... You know Christianity is really under attack today? You want to watch the news? Even saying that you're Christian somewhere now, quote, can be offensive and hurtful to someone. We're under attack. So it's a day-to-day decision of what you're going to do. Before I move on, let me take a moment for you to ask yourself, what do you and your spiritual life need to do at this time? Where do you need some discipline? What do you need to implement in a spiritual area in your life to run to win? Some things, including sharing Christ's love with others, getting into small group, studying God's word daily, seeking the Holy Spirit daily. No one of these things will do it for you. Just coming to church won't do it for you. But Paul said he forced it into a submission, that's his body, so that he would not be disqualified for the prize. So how much effort are you willing to put into your own spiritual development and follower of Christ? Now, in addition to putting ourselves under self-discipline, there's more that we can do to assure that we're running the race to win. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, you'll hear some great advice on how to run the race we've been put in. Again, listen to what it has to say. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God at his throne. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Second thing we can do, get rid of hindrances. One show on television is a CBS reality show, The Amazing Race. And by the way, I hate reality shows. Okay? I don't watch those things. You probably love them. I hate them. They're just yucky. Sorry. That's hard to translate. Sorry. Yucky. It's not good. Don't like them. But there is one. I saw it advertised. Amazing Race. Teams would carry backpacks and go in pairs around the world for a shot for $1 million. And they carry packs with them for the 3 weeks of the Amazing Race. But when it's down to the final leg of the race, and there are only three teams remaining, they all do something very strategic. They leave their bags and go on without them. Why? It's obvious. That extra weight might slow them down so they don't win the $1 million prize. Here in Hebrews, we're told to do the same thing in the race marked out for us. Throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles. What is it that entangles you? I want you to just stop for a minute. What sins within you, what things within you hinder you from being this growing, maturing person? Well, I could stop and the whole list right before me. All sorts of things. Let's see, do I get angry? Yes. Do I get angry at people sometimes? Do I read as faithfully as I should the Bible? Boy, you think, hey, here's a scholar who teaches from the Bible. Do I read it for personal growth as much as I should? No. Do I spend enough time in prayer? Well, I'm pretty good about that. When I'm running miles, by the way, I just pray away. It's good. I can run. I got a lot of pain going on, so I figure let me just talk to the Lord. I do that. So praying's pretty good. Do I attend church? Yes. Yes, I do. I prefer attending here with you all, by the way. It's my favorite. Other churches, I have to listen to other people preach. Sorry. So, some of them just really need to study a little more. I'm sorry. But anyway, what hinders you? I see you've come to church today. Isn't that great? So, are you letting the Holy Spirit talk to you? You see, what hinders you may not be what hinders me. We're different. But I know we have those things that drag us like anchors, don't we? So that's it. So, in the year 1519, the Spanish explorer Cortez hit the shores of the New World, what is now eastern New Mexico, with a total of 600 men and less than 20 horses. However, they began the work of settling a colony for Spain. And shortly after their arrival, however, Cortez, and some of you historians know this, did something very interesting. He issued an order to burn the ships. Fearing his men might be tempted to turn back, he ordered that their only way back to the life they once knew be permanently destroyed. And that's exactly what happened. He burned the ships. Maybe you're still a maturing Christian, and this has nothing to do with age. You still may be entangled with the sin from your old life. If so, maybe some drastic action is called for. Maybe you need to burn the ships of some relationships. Maybe those are dragging you down, or burn the activities that may hinder you. Maybe you need to look at what your life is today. Number three, keep your eyes on the goal. This is from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. As Paul said, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. We need to stay focused on where we want to end up. That's his book, Going for the Goal. We need to stay focused on that life. The best-selling book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey, tells of people who are highly successful begin with an end in mind. They have direction. It's not just aimless. As Christians running our race of faith and trying to please God, we constantly get our way blocked with distractions. There's lots of good causes. And by the way, I saw in your bulletin that you all are gathering some things for the disaster from the earthquake in Hualien. I've been there 2 or 3 times. I just can't imagine. I saw the buildings, a hotel or something. I know that hotel, that one they mentioned. So leaning over, people were in it at that time. So that is a good cause. That's a cause in Christ to serve your brothers and sisters. And you all are sending it to the Presbytery in Taiwan, if I understand that. That's excellent. See, those are what Christians should be about and doing. So sometimes we get ourselves caught up in busy activities that really are not for the benefit of either ourselves or the world around about us. We need to follow the advice that we're given. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. See that song today? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Consider him who endured so much opposition from sinful men. Lynn and I were talking today. Who did he invite to into his life? Who did he go to eat dinner with? Were they all perfect people? Who did he call to be his disciples? Were they perfect people? He involved himself in the life of real people in the real world. We need to consider what Jesus has done and keep our eyes upon him so that you will not grow weary and gain heart. You're watching the Winter Olympics. A few years ago, I watched the Winter Olympics. One of the more memorable moments in the games came when the gold medal of the race of a brand new event then that is really spectacular now called snowboarding. It's a snowboard cross. Aren't those people absolutely amazing? They get up there and if I flipped over like that, I just might as well have the ambulance sitting right there. I don't see how do you orient yourself in the air like that? You're twisting and turning. And those people off those long ski jumps, that's just terrible. But they do it. I don't see how they do it. Well, anyway, it's like a motocross thing. Multiple races going down over a treacherous course. In this gold medal race that I happened to watch, an American started out with 3 other racers. By the midpoint of the race, the American was alone. This is when this first snowboarding took over. Americans really were all over this because of the things you see with skateboarders. We were pretty big at that, all right? American was so alone, so far in front, having escaped a crash, that the others were delayed. She had the finish line in sight. She realized that she was second to the last jump. She was so far in front, she couldn't even see the second place person. So she did something she regretted for a long time. She decided to do a little showboating. She grabbed her board in midair, did a little squiggle. She lost her balance, and she crashed on her landing. She was struggling to get up when a competitor from Switzerland raced past her to claim the gold. She was so far ahead, she couldn't even see second place. She got distracted with herself and lost the race. American later gave a simple example, an explanation for her behavior. I was caught up in the moment. That's the problem, isn't it, today? When we get caught up in the moment of everyday life and become distracted from the real faith, and we quit focusing on Christ and the rewards he has that will last for eternity. When we're not focused on him, sometimes we lose our place in life. And I don't preach this today to convict you. I preach it for me looking into a mirror. I don't care what I've accomplished. And you know, folks, I've been able to do a few things in my life. I still get so easily distracted, I can do this, you know. Look at this. Wow, you know. That I trip and somebody skis right on past me. And they're generally about 15 years old. I see that running. When I think I'm just trotting along, I did that one of my half marathons once. I think I told you that. I was doing my half marathon, and I was really breezing along. I was really thought I was really something special. And this little girl, she couldn't have been more than 15 or so, zoomed past me like I was standing still. I took all the wind out of me. I was so proud. And then this little girl ran past me and went off. I never caught her. She just went on. Isn't that sometimes what happens? We get distracted. We forget about the race, and we look to things that aren't important. That's not what I want for myself or for any of you here today. I want us all to run the race marked out for us with a single-minded focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The idea of judgment is not pleasing to anyone, but it's real. Read your Bibles. Some of you who like to go deeper one of these days, talk to your pastor. This judgment seat before Christ simply means you're going to stand before Christ. Christians, doesn't have to do with salvation or losing salvation. No, that's there. That's great. But you're going to stand before Christ, and your whole life is going to be presented. That scares me a lot. No, scares. That humbles me a lot. Now, is it going to make me go out and be the perfect person today that I should be? No, I'll go out and trip out the door like the rest of you. You see, but we at least know the focus. Lasting joy can happen when we live life to the fullest and we run to win. I want you to run to win. I love you all. You're a great church. Happy Lunar New Year to each one of you. It's a new beginning. What happened last year, it's happened. There ain't anything you can do about it. What happens this new year, run the race. Be strong. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we are grateful for what you are in our lives. In Christ, in our belief through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are freed from the bonds of eternal sin. But our human condition is still weak. We fall short. We want to do better. We try to do better, but it's just hard to do it on our own. We pray that your Holy Spirit can live in our lives, live in our hearts. Direct us always to turn our eyes upon your Son, letting your Holy Spirit strengthen us and strengthen this house and strengthen the love we have for you. Bless us as we go forward into this new year, giving our lives to you in thy Son's name. Amen.